This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn, 371, down 8. July corn, 379, down 8. September corn, 386 and 3 quarters, down 8. May soybeans, 954 and a half, down 14 and 3 quarters. July soybeans, 959 and a half, down 14 and a quarter. August soybeans, 959 and a quarter, down 13 and a quarter. May wheat, 503 and a half, down 10 and a half. July wheat, 506 and 3 quarters, down 9 and 3 quarters. September wheat, 516 and a half, down 9 and a half. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices did end lower on Tuesday afternoon. China bought Ukraine corn, which put minus signs on corn futures, and soybeans were under competitive pressure from the large South American soybean crop. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 8 cents lower at 343 to 366. Soybean bids down 13 to 15 cents at 922 to 939. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted those shell corn bids 8 cents lower at 337 to 365. Soybean bids down 15 at 927 to 955. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 7 to 8 cents at 347 to 371. Soybean bids dropped 14 to 16 cents at 930 to 960, and the wheat bids were 11 to 13 lower at 417 to 481. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 15 cents lower at 958 to 972, basis steady ranging from 3 to 17 over the May. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $347.50 to $348.50. That's down $6.20 a ton, with basis steady ranging from 30 to 31 over the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 8 to 11 lower at 366 to 377, with basis steady to 3 cents lower at 5 under to 6 over the May. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 8 cents lower at 367 to 373, basis steady ranging from 4 under to 2 over the May. Soybeans ended down 12 to 19 cents at 952 to 963, with basis ending mixed ranging from 3 under to 8 over the May. New crop wheat prices ended 9 to 10 lower at 487 to 501, with basis steady to a penny higher at 20 to 6 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 8 cents lower at 386 to 387. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 14 to 15 cents, with quotations at 977 to 978. Soft wheat down a dime at 504 to 514, and Milo ended 8 cents lower at 431 to 446. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 352 to 367. New crop soybean bids range from 880 up to 907. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids were at 352 to 372. New crop soybean bids at $9 up to 920. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 357 to 368. New crop soybean bids at 883 up to 910. And wheat bids for June, July delivery in southern Illinois, they range from 465 up to 495. That completes our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 153.57, up 37 cents. June live cattle, 145.47, up 50 cents. August live cattle, 143.55, up 27 cents. March feeder cattle, 211.57, down 85 cents. April feeder cattle, 210.02, down 2 cents. May feeder cattle, 208.92, down 17 cents. April lean hogs, 61.77, down 42 cents. May lean hogs, 72.07, up 65 cents. June lean hogs, 75.80, down 45 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday, the 17th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 30 cents lower in the range of 52 to 60, with the weighted average carcass price of $58.44. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 28 to 34, 4 to 5 weights 32 to 37, 5 to 6 weights 35 to 40, and 6 weights and up 37 to 42. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to a dollar lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $35 to $41. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 12,361 head. And now for the report from the Arthur Sale Barn Sheep and Goat Sale. They had receipts of 218 head. Slaughter lambs, 47 weight average, brought $200. Slaughter kids, 45 weight average, brought $115 to $150. And slaughter nannies, average weight 106, were $60 to $155. Feeder kids, average weight 25 pounds, were $35 to $52. Now for the opening report from the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville, they had receipts of 445 head. Steers and heifers were steady. Holstein steers, $2 lower. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were $160.50 to $165. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, $150 to $154.50. And choice slaughter heifers, $160 to $165.50. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 440 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $68.16, and that was 20 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $247.04, that was $1.78 higher, with select carcasses at $244.79. That was 27 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 110,000. That compared to 109,000 last week and 118,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 434,000. That compared to 428,000 last week and 416,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, where we'll hear from a market analyst on how this week's markets are doing. That's coming up after this. The Federal Reserve policy meeting is taking place today and tomorrow. They will be releasing a revised monetary policy statement that will have some decisions in it which will greatly affect ag commodity markets, according to market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
That'll give us clues of when the Fed might raise interest rates, and that has a big impact on the dollar, and the dollar has a big impact on the flow of money either in or out of the commodity complex and grain and oilseeds. The grain and oilseed prices have been much more sensitive to movements in the dollar over about the past 6 or 7 weeks than normal. A lot is riding on this Fed meeting.
Suderman says raising the interest rates will mainly make exports more difficult, which can have far-reaching effects.
What that does is support a strong dollar for quite some time, which makes exports more difficult, especially for wheat, for pork, for beef, those commodities where we have a lot of competition overseas. To some extent, it matters for corn and soybeans, but not to the extent that it does in some of the other commodities. It continues to give us a flow of money out of the broader commodity complex, so it makes rallies more difficult to sustain. And it accelerates losses in times. Grain and oilseeds can still trade and will ultimately still trade supply and demand fundamentals, but it alters how they do that and makes rallies. As I said, they probably don't go quite as high as what they otherwise would. A good example is a few years back when we were in the opposite. We were in an inflationary mode with the dollar falling rapidly, and that helped us get corn futures up to 849, our record high, 849 per bushel. Largely because of the dollar falling, it accelerated the gains that we probably otherwise would have had. Well, the opposite can be true when the dollar is rallying. So it does have a big impact on that money flow in the trading pits.
Suderman says there is one market in particular that has the best chance for a rally in case of a troubling growing season.
And that would probably be corn. Obviously, it depends on the timing when that weather threat would occur. But when you look at global corn supplies, they're currently projected to be just a 69-day supply. That compares to about 167-day supply back in the burdensome supplies of the mid-1980s, so considerably below that. Well, how does it compare to some of our tight years that gave us record prices? Well, a few years back, we set 40-year lows of corn supplies at a 55-day supply. So this year's 69-day supply is just 2 weeks more than what we saw in 40-year lows.
Weather will be the deciding factor once again this year, since Suderman says supplies of stored corn are not as high as we would like them to be in the event of adverse weather conditions.
Just a drop of about 5% or a little bit more in this year's national average yield because of weather problems. So it wouldn't take that significant of a weather problem based on lower acreage expectations for this year to get us back into that situation. Now, climatologists currently believe that we're going to see a weather pattern this summer favorable for trend or better yields in the corn crop. So the odds are against us having that type of a problem, but all it would take is about a half degree difference in temperature Celsius in sea surface temperatures off the west coast of California into Baja California to change that outlook. So the risk is there, even though it's less than 50%.
The risk may be there, but so far, climatologists are predicting a mild growing season, leaving the main ag market factors up to interest rates and the currency markets. The USDA will be releasing its planting intentions report. Suderman goes over how the market is poised leading up to that report.
The market's looking ahead to the March 31 planting intentions report, as well as quarterly stocks report. That is oftentimes a pivotal day when the markets will reverse direction or accelerate direction depending on the data that comes out. Right now, the overall tone remains bearish for corn and soybeans. Wheat has been a little bit better, largely on short covering because the winter wheat crop isn't in the best of conditions. Not enough to get overly excited about, but this is a high-risk time of year, and the hedge funds were heavily short, in fact, a record short positions in Kansas City. And they're lightening their load of short positions just because this is a risky time of year for the winter wheat crop.
The wheat markets have also been seeing some interesting dynamics in recent days.
We've seen some significant gains, largely due to speculative hedge fund short covering, where they had massive large short positions or sold positions coming into this month. But this is a risky time of year, and so they're covering some of the short positions. We saw crop ratings that are now being released on a weekly basis in some of the key production states of the plains, showing that we're seeing deterioration in Kansas. Kansas dropped 5 points in the good to excellent category over the past week. Oklahoma dropped a couple points as well, while Texas, I believe, went up 1 degree, 1 point in rating. So we do have some drought problems. We do have some winter kill problems that are showing up. Now in the plains, drought primarily in Kansas and places to the south, winter kill showing up in the northwestern third of Kansas as well as in south central Nebraska. I do not believe that these problems are yet sufficient for the market to sustain a rally on, as long as we have export problems that are caused by our strong dollar. But if the dollar were to correct significantly lower, boosting our exports, then these problems with the crop would mean more to the markets.
Looking at the livestock markets, Suderman says the largest current factor is the avian influenza outbreak currently affecting Arkansas, Missouri, Minnesota, California, Washington, and Oregon. The outbreak's impacts are being felt by more than just the poultry industry.
When we look at the livestock markets, we rallied on Monday to start the week as the live cattle futures tried to close the gap somewhat with the cash market. Last week's cash trade was mostly 158 to 160, a few of them down to 156, but the 158 to 160 on a live basis caught the bulk of the trade. And with the February contract going off the board, that left the lead April contract at quite a discount. Rallied up into an area chart congestion, did not have the strength to push through it. So now as we come, it's turnaround Tuesday, traders selling down from that area of chart resistance, and we're seeing weakness return. Same thing in the feeder cattle market with weakness in the fat cattle. There's simply not the enthusiasm at the sale barn to push prices higher. We've got some pretty stiff resistance for the lead March contract at that 205 level, and nothing happening at the sale barn to necessarily prove them wrong in doing that.
The plummeting pork prices do seem to be correcting after the downturn they've experienced thanks to the poultry markets.
Well, we will see a new quarterly hogs and pigs report come out later this month to try to get a handle on just what the scope of the expansion of the hog industry has been over the last several months. But generally, when you look at the numbers, we're slaughtering more hogs than we did a year ago and at heavier weights, and the supply is overwhelming the demand. We did see the poor weather slow the movement of hogs to packing plants, and that allowed the cash market over the last five or six trading days to move higher, and that's been encouraging, but the product market really has not followed through in that trend, and so the product continues overall to be in a downtrend, and that's not bullish long term. We tried to rally the futures market based on that stabilization of the cash market, but the general fear is now that once the weather improves and those hogs go to market, that they'll be at heavier weights, and we'll just add that much more supply to the anemic demand.
While we wait for the quarterly hogs and pigs report, inventory is being taken of the cattle herd. Cattle numbers are down, but that's not the only reason why we're seeing fewer U.S. cattle being slaughtered.
Well, certainly both are enjoying the cheaper corn prices. I know both cattlemen and hogmen would like to see the cheaper corn prices reducing their input costs, and they're certainly glad with these prices, particularly for hogs, that we're not looking at the $6 corn prices. But margin suppression has gone across agriculture now, both for the crop producer and for the livestock producer. We're seeing that margin suppression, and it means they just have to work that much harder at trying to hit singles and doubles in their marketing and their risk management plans.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, giving his insights into this week's grain and livestock markets. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.